We are in our third week of this series, At the Doorstep, and we're taking a look at what's God's vision for us in this next sort of phase of ministry over this next year. I'm excited about this. Would you pray with me as we start today? Father, we give you thanks. Thanks that you would, God, that you would speak to us. I'm overwhelmed by that. That the God of the universe would listen to us as we call, but also that would speak to us. You would give us your scripture, and your Holy Spirit would guide us. And so that's what we pray for this morning, Father, as we open the word together, as we talk together. God, would you guide us? Would you direct us? Would you help us to run in the direction that you've called? We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're starting next week this new series. Next week's Lent. That's the 40 days, the 6 weeks leading up to Easter, and it's an incredible time to kind of take sort of stock of your life and pay attention to the connection that you have with God, your relationship with God, and it's a great time to take on a spiritual discipline. And I know Leslie's already told you, if you text that word in, you'll get a text message every day that'll help you with that, a little video and guide. I want to encourage you to do that. I'm also excited about the series that we get to be a part of, that we're gonna follow so closely from a unique perspective of who Jesus was, all the culture that was going on around him at the time, the intricate things that were happening in their daily life, and even in the geography, starts to open up a whole new perspective on who Jesus is. And we're going to follow Jesus so closely that we're covered in his dust. I'm excited to do that as well. But as we wrap up this series, I just want to give us a big picture of who we are as a church. And I want you to know I'm excited about who we are as a church. I'm excited about some of the ways that we've been able to do ministry. You know, it's time for just a little bit of an update. So I'm going to talk to you for just a couple of minutes on an update on kind of what happened in this past year versus where we're headed this year. And I've always asked you to jump in with your time, talents, and treasures, all three things, time, talents, and treasures. You jump in and volunteer and be a part of all the things happening. I want you to show up and be a part of worship, and I want you to understand your talents, the gifts that God has given you, and use those in ministry, and also your treasure, that we say to God as a congregation, we say, God, you're the God over every bit of my life, even my finances, and so we give as part of our worship to God. But it's also an investment. It's jumping in to say, together, we're going to do great ministry. We're going to have an impact on the community around us. We're going to see lives changed, and you all do that. This is a church that gets that and jumps in together and is generous together. I want to give you just an update from this, kind of how we put together our budget, how we fund the ministry, right? It takes a investment of our treasures in order to do ministry well and to fund the ministry. And this just lets you know how we put together when we do a budget. This is how we put it together. There's foundational things. Our facilities, about 11% of our budget. Administration, about 7%. And then something we call, this is new for us, we call it central services, because we're learning to do really a good job of being two campuses but one church together. And so there's some central services that go across both. That's about 13%. All these percentages have portions of salaries in them, and so it's not just budget. It's not just spending budget, but it's also how we staff these areas. Our internally focused portion of our budget, we do worship. What we do on Sunday mornings is we gather the technology that goes into that, the staff that goes into that, things like that. That's about 14% of our budget. And what we call connections, keeping us connected and thriving in relationship with each other, that's about 7% of our budget. And then we have some externally focused areas. Our mission, where we reach out to the community around us. We're part of a denomination. We give to that because that supports church planting. And we give to missionaries far off and those close. And we have staff dollars that also go into caring for the community around us and outside. That's about 15% of our budget. And our communication, how we tell our story to the community around us, about 5% of our budget goes into that. And then age-specific ministries, adult, youth, and kids. It's about 13% towards adult ministries, about 8% towards youth ministries, about 7% towards our kids' ministries. That's how the budget stacks up. The point is that we have been given this mission, this calling, and we've found a way to do that. It's really, really incredible. I have some great news. Last year, we thought this would take us, we would need to bring in, we would need to give together and rally together and give about $1.7 million. I was worried that we would, if we would actually meet it. But here's what really happened. Our actual giving for 2022 was $1,872,000. That's a yay God. That's an amazing, yeah. That's an unbelievable thing. What incredible generosity and enabled great ministry to happen. This would be added to some of the other income that we have, income streams that we have as a church. So this coming year, our total budget is about $2.1 million, but our goals for our giving are $1,899,000. We're asking, we're saying, hey, let's join in. Let's jump together. Let's do this together so that we can live out the mission and the calling. And I'm excited to be a part of a church that's willing to do that and to do that together. Let me give you the why, though. The why is what matters. And last week, we talked about this a little bit. We have kids in the room with us today. We're all in. Several times a year, we invite our kids to be part of worship with us. We have a wonderful kids program. They love it. It's so much fun to be back there. But every once in a while, we want to be all together and worship together and have kids to see how we do worship as the whole church. And so, kids, I am glad that you're with me. I'm going to give a test to your parents in just a minute that are with you, and we're gonna have just a second to see it. You're gonna have to help me out, and you're gonna have to tell me later whether your parents got it or not. Okay, so here's how the test goes. This is what we call the Great Commission. This is from Matthew 28, and we talked about this last week in church, kids. So your parents should know. You should know about this. And this is what it says. This is Matthew 28. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. All right, here's a test. I'm going to have you turn to your neighbors who's right around you just for a couple minutes, and you have to answer this question. There's one of those verbs in there. There's one of those verbs is the primary verb. It's the main driver, right? So therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. One of the verbs in there is the main command. Which one was it? All right, turn. Take a wild guess if you have no idea. Turn, find your neighbor. Kids, you tell me if your parents were confident, if they had an answer. You know, this was a test. There wasn't supposed to be so much laughter. I'm hearing laughter. Any kids? Were their parent? Any kids have parents or grandparents that were confident in their answer? You guys, anybody? Oh man, there's some. Okay, all right. Let's see if they got it right. Here it is. There are lots of different verbs in here, but the main verb of what it means to do the Great Commission is this: to make disciples. Woo! Make disciples. Oh, I got some fist pumps going. That's good. All right, that's the main one. That is the call that Jesus gave his disciples as he was headed back to heaven, and he told his disciples, that's your job. You make disciples. And that's the job that's been given to us as the church. That's what we do as a church. We make disciples. Now, there are three ways that we do that, and those are the other verbs, all right? So don't worry. The other verbs are important too, okay? If you got it wrong, they're also important. Don't worry. All right. Baptizing is one of those. We make disciples. How? By baptizing, by reaching out to those who are far from God, inviting them to be a part of the church, of inviting them into a life with Christ. And we long to see lives change. We long to see people baptized into the faith. We reach out to those who are not here yet, who are far from God. The second thing that we do is we do teaching. Right? We teaching to obey all that I've commanded. This is the idea of discipleship, of growing up in the faith. We're going to teach people. We're going to build them up. We're going to teach them what it means to live in the way of Christ, to order our lives around a Christ-like way. We teach people to grow in the faith. We teach them depth of knowledge of the scripture, but also teaching them how to do life together so that we may do life in Christ's way. So baptizing, teaching, and then the last one is going. Therefore, going. That all of us are called to go. That should be translated all y'all. That's an all y'all command. All y'all go, right? All y'all going. That we're called to be a part of ministry. And every one of us should be a part of that. We're disciples who make disciples. And all of us are called to be a part of the going. And so we have three directives that gives us as a church. When we say we're going to do ministry, we're called to do ministry together, there are three areas where we reorganize that and we see our directives. The first is to reach those who are not here yet, to reach the lost, people that are far from God, don't have a relationship with Jesus, people who long for their lives to be made whole, but don't even know what that means. They have this longing for Jesus, and yet they haven't met him yet. And so we're called to do that, for that to be on our hearts and our minds, and to be what we're about. The second area is to build followers of Christ, right? To build each other up. We're gonna build our faith. We're gonna grow in our understanding. We're also gonna grow and build in our relationships with each other, so that we could do this life together. And the last is that we would equip everyone for ministry. We want to be about those three things as a church. We want to organize our ministries around those three areas: to reach, to build, and to equip. So as we do ministry together, that's what we're going to be all about. Now, we're going to do that all the way across our whole church. That means two campuses, one church together, but two campuses. On both campuses, we're going to do those three things. We're going to reach, we're going to build, and we're going to equip. And in this next year, you're going to see us. We're going to do our best to be laser focused on those three areas: of reach, to build, and equip, and organizing ministries around those. You will see on this campus, one of the things is making sure we have the teams in place and we have staff in place to carry out those priorities. And so that's one of the things that we're going to focus on. But I want us, I really have this sense, this call that for us in these next few months, we need to take a bigger picture of who we are as a whole church. And we're going to focus on our opportunities that we have in Arlington. Now, what I'm not saying is we're going to let the Arlington campus focus on the opportunities that we have in Arlington. Hear me, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the whole church is going to focus on that. You know, we hired a pastor, a campus pastor, Pastor Diana, to be our campus pastor for Arlington, and I have a strong temptation. My temptation is to go, well, we hired her. She's all good. All done, right? Mission accomplished. We've done that, and let's go. But that's not really our calling. In fact, I have this sense that we need a rallying cry. We're going to reach, build, and equip across both campuses, but from time to time, you need to take some time and really focus in and have a rallying cry. And I have this sense that it's time for the next few months, from now through August, to have a rallying cry around the opportunity that we have to reach families that are far from God. In the Arlington area through our Arlington campus. This I'm asking us to take on as a whole church project, not just that campus project, but all of us together to reach out to these young families that are moving into that area and that need to be a part of a church family. I've asked Pastor Diana to share with us. She's going to do that by video because she's leading a new member class out there right now as we speak. So she's going to join us.
Good morning, Cordova. This year, as I was starting to think about my word for the year, the word strong came to mind right away for me. It's not a word that I would normally gravitate to, so I was very intrigued that this probably was my word for the year. So I went to the scriptures, and I looked at the word strong, and this is the first passage of scripture that popped up for me. Joshua 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. As soon as I read that, I was like, yep, this is my verse. This is the verse that's going to hold me for this year. The word for the year this year is strong. When I first arrived in my office at Advent Arlington campus, there was a few things left in my office from the last pastor. And one pile had several renditions of the different buildings that people had drawn that we might build on the Arlington campus. I was intrigued and captivated by these so much so that I picked the biggest one and I put it on my desk to remind myself that we are moving somewhere. We are going to do something. That's why I was called to this place. It was almost as if I knew at that moment I was supposed to take us into the promised land. This land had been promised to the Church of Arlington for a long time. And as I was reading more about Joshua and his calling, I came across a piece of information that I didn't know about yet. Moses had changed Joshua's name from Hoshua to Joshua, H-O-S-H-E-A, to Joshua, which means he saves or he delivers. And Joshua means God saves or God delivers. It made so much sense to me why Moses changed his name, because he knew that Joshua would need to be reminded that it's not about him saving this community of people, but it was about what God was about to do as he brought those people into the promised land. It is simply a moment where God is using a human to do what God has called him to do. Verse 7 says this: "Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." If we rewind just a couple of verses, we start to get a better context for what's going on in this situation. Moses has just died, and then God is saying this to Joshua: "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them." Now, we are getting ready right now. We've been getting ready at the Arlington campus for 4 months. We have been building teams out at the Arlington campus. We have a facilities team. We have a greeter team. We have an events team. We have a kids team. And since we already had a student ministries team, we just got the youth room ready for new people to come and join us. We are getting ready, and we hope that you, the Cordova campus, would want to be a part of what we're doing out in Arlington. You can join us once a month if you wanted to and be on one of these teams with us. Right now, most of these teams have 4 people on each team. My goal long term is to have 8 people on each of these teams. I think it'd be really cool if every team had a person from Arlington and a person from Cordova. You could come on out from the Cordova campus at either 10 a.m. or some other time and be on one of these teams to help us. The next verse, verse 3, says this: "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." That's the next thing that I would like to invite you to. We're going to start doing some prayer walks around Arlington, and we would love for you, anybody, to come out and be a part of one of those prayer walks in the near future. Then verse 4 says this: "Your territory will extend from the desert of to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country and the Mediterranean Sea in the west." Just a few weeks ago, Mike Moss, who lives in Arlington and loves the town of Arlington, took Pastor Kaz and I on a tour of all of Arlington, and he took us to the four edges of Arlington. And as he did that, I felt like he was saying, "Here's the territory. Here's the territory of people that we want to minister to." Verse 5 goes on to say this: "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As it was with Moses, so it will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." I believe that God would not have had to say this if he thought this moving into the promised land was going to be easy. What we're about to do in Arlington is not always going to be easy. We're going to come up against obstacles, and there are going to be things that are going to be hard. But what I know is that God is calling us to the next step at Arlington. There's an African proverb that says this: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe God is calling us to do this together between the Arlington campus and the Cordova campus so that we can go far. And what I mean by going far is that this will have eternal impact long term for the people of Arlington. And we are called to do it together. Verse 8 says this: keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This passage is where Joshua realizes that we need to do this in the way that God is calling us to do this. Not his way, Joshua's way, but God's way. Joshua realized in this moment he was going to have to stay very obedient to God's laws. He was going to need to stay connected to God. So we, as the two campuses, need to stay connected to the Holy Spirit and to be pouring ourselves into the scriptures so that we can keep following what God is calling us to do. We want to follow Jesus. We want to grow as a church, but we want to stay united as two different campuses. We need the town of Arlington to see us doing relationship well within our congregations, as well as we interact with other people in Arlington. God is calling us not to just build physically or to grow numerically, but he wants us to grow spiritually most of all. Like Pastor Kaz just said last week, we need to be discipling each other. This can be a discipleship moment for all of us. We need to give each other space to do ministry well together. We need to be able to minister to the people of Arlington who are not here yet. We want them to meet Jesus. We want them to grow in their faith. And at this point in this passage of scripture, Joshua is about to explain, like, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to cross the river. This is when you're going to do it. And this is what you need to do. And this is what the people said to him: just as we fully obeyed Moses, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. When I read this verse, I actually started to laugh as I thought about, do these people not remember that they were the same ones that kind of bailed out on Moses about 40 days in? They were the same people that pooled their gold together in order to create an idol that they could worship instead of worshiping God. What this made me think about is that we need to be very attentive to how God has placed people of leadership in our lives right now. We have an elder team, a session that is leading us well right now. We have trustees that are guiding and directing us financially as well, and we need to trust them. We have a lead pastor who is leading the charge for all of us to move forward together, and we need to respect him and that team. This is important. There's a staff, an entire staff at Advent that is listening for the voice of God and moving together forward, and we need to respect them. God is calling us not to just do our own thing, to build idols on the side or gather up teams that are against something that someone else is doing. We are called to do this together. Part of the problem that the Israelites had is they were not following God, and they wandered around in the desert for 40 years. I don't have 40 years left. I don't have 40 years left in ministry, I should say. But the reality is, I might not even have 40 years left here on this planet. So it's time to get started. It's time to get moving. And if you want to be a part of it, show up next Sunday right after worship. Go in to Lindsay Hall, and Pastor Kaz and I are going to be presenting the vision, and we will be telling you exactly how you can get involved with this.
It's an exciting time to think about what God has in store for us. And this is where the fun happens. as we think about these next 6 months, where I'm calling us, hey, this is the rallying cry for us as a whole church over the next 6 months. Now, that doesn't mean we won't continue to reach, build, and equip right here on this campus. We're going to continue to be at work. And some of you heard, hey, the next 6 months, we're really going to focus on over there in Arlington, so I don't have to do anything. I can just sit back and do nothing. You heard wrong, right? You heard wrong. We've got lots of work to do, but we're calling everybody to be a part of this, to rally around it. Last week on Monday, I had a meeting out in Arlington, and on the way home, I got a call right before I left. I got a call from my wife. She said I needed to stop by Kroger. Anybody remember what last Tuesday was? That was Valentine's for any of you that are. That was Valentine's Day. And my wife said, you need to go to Kroger and you need to buy some candy and things for our kids. Now, she may have meant more than for the kids, but I just took her at face value. I only got stuff for the kids. And I'm standing there in Kroger and it is packed. I mean, there are so many. And it's all guys. It's just a bunch of dudes. And we're all kind of looking bewildered, you know, around. And most everything's already gone. And I felt like I almost needed to have like a little counseling session, like a little group therapy or something. Everybody was looking so scared. And as I stood there, though, I started to just hear this whisper. I started to hear this whisper from God. And it started to grab me in my heart, this reminder. These are the families that we're called to reach. And I was looking at all those dads standing there and seeing them walk off with big bundles of flowers and candy and, you know, balloons and things. And just reminded me, those aren't just dads. They represent whole families. And these are families that God loves. And so many of them are far from him. So many of them aren't connected to a church. And as we are called, we're called to reach them. We're not just called to do church like we've always been doing it and just reach the people that we already have. But the guys that I was standing around bewildered because they were all late getting their Valentine's, those are the guys that we're called to reach. You know, I reminded us a few weeks ago of some of the stories of our past that set our DNA. We're the church that knocks on every door. We find a way to care for those who are not here yet. We might not physically knock on doors, but we care about evangelism. And then we talked about the hamburger skit. And I can't tell you that one again. I don't have time today. But we talked about that a couple weeks ago, this silly skit that our pastors were willing to do because we care so much about the next generation, that reaching our next generation, our kids and youth, matters so much. We'll do whatever it takes. So we're a church that decides to, when it's time to build a sanctuary, we decide, you know what? The community really needs a rec center. It needs a gym, a place of gathering for the whole community. So we built the CLC before we built a worship space. And this is a church that takes risks, that said, we'll take on a second campus. And that campus said, we'll give up our name and join together for the sake of the kingdom. We're a church that these things are deep in our values. But the question that start getting into my mind was, well, how do we do those things for these families? So I stood there in that store looking at the wall of different kinds of chocolates, and I stood around looking at all these guys, and how do we do that for these families? New families, new generations. How do we do that? Diana already mentioned putting together teams. We're going to do a great job with worship. We're paying attention to make sure our worship is engaging and has all the technology that it needs, all the sense of worship that just grabs hold of you. That when a family comes in, they're pointed towards God. They're caught up in this this opportunity to worship, this experience of worship together. We already do kids ministry there, but we're saying, hey, let's put pedal to the metal on kids ministry. We want to have a kids ministry where kids beg their parents to be a part of church. One that is so fun and yet so life-changing. Our youth ministry is already doing well and thriving, and we want to say, hey, we're going to continue in that. We're going to lean in on that. We want a youth ministry where our students are inviting their friends to join in relationship with God. And we want to have welcome teams and welcome spaces and a welcome experience that when somebody, a family walks through the door, they know right away, we were waiting on you. We prepared for you. We love you. We care about you. And just brings them right in. We're putting those teams together. We're going out to look at what are best practices. What are churches that are reaching families around doing and doing well? And we're looking at that and saying, okay, what are some things that we can put into place to do that well? So I want to encourage you. Be a part of those teams. be a part of these next 6 months as we say, how are we going to do this together? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to design ministries for those families that are not here yet. We're going to resource those ministries, and then we're going to rally around them. Now, Pastor Diana gave us a little bit from Joshua where Moses was handing the reins off to Joshua. And we've, over the last few weeks, been looking at this little moment where Moses was getting ready to let the people of Israel go into the promised land. He wasn't going to go with them. And so he gave them his pep talk. And a lot of it comes down right in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 5:32, there's this passage where Moses is in the middle of his pep talk, and he looks at the people of Israel, and he says this: so be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. All right, he gave them all these instructions. And then he says, do not turn aside to the right or to the left. What is he telling them? When you go in, there are going to be lots of distractions. Lots of distractions, lots of little things that get you off the path. I get distracted easily. I get sidetracked, and I'm way over here, or I'm over there. I'll go on a walk with one of my kids, right? And this happens, it seems like, so often when we're on a walk, and all of a sudden they start hobbling, and then they're kind of going slow and slower and slower. And as a good parent, I'm like, come on, get with the program, right? I'm encouraging parent, you know, you got to get. And my kid's just slowly hobbling. And they go, what's wrong? What's wrong? They pull off their shoe, and they've got like a giant rock stuck in their shoe. And how are you even walking with that at all? Distractions can thwart the whole mission. Like, you can't even get through the walk if you got that little rock in your shoe. Moses tells people, hey, don't get distracted. Guys, you know churches get distracted. They get focused on little things that they need to either take care of and get out of the way, or they need to just ignore altogether and be reminded of the mission. And God calls us to this mission to reach, to build, and equip. And over these next 6 months, we're going to rally together around our opportunity with our Arlington campus. And then over the rest of this year, we're going to take a look at how do we do that on a bigger way, across our whole church, to reach the community that God has called us to, because we long for people to come into relationship with him. We long for families' lives to be changed. And we long for there to be restoration in the whole community all around us. And we just want to be a part of that. Would you pray with me? God, I give you thanks. Thanks for these kids that have joined us this morning. And I'm just struck, Father, by these incredible children that are part of our church. Because they're so much part of the mission. God, when you say go, God, they just go. So, God, I'm so encouraged by our children. God, I give you thanks for a church that says we're going to rally together. We're going to pool our time, our talents, and our treasures, Father, to build your kingdom. God, we want to be a church that's just used by you. Would you use us? That's all we really want at the end of the day, Father. Would you use us to make a difference, to make an impact? Would you use us, God? May we see lives changed. May we see families restored. God, may we see your kingdom up there come down here. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Mm-hmm.